Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to October's Very Own, a podcast by Noisy. I, again, am Dan Ozzie, a staff writer at Noisy, and this is Eric Sunderman, the editor-in-chief of Noisy.
Hello. Hi. My name is Eric.
.com.
I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
My name is Eric.com. We're here. We're talking about Drake.
What a good start.
Yeah. We're talking about Drake, October's Very Own, 31 Days of Drake.
Yeah, as we explained last time, every single day this month. And talk about Drake and Drake only.
Yeah, different topic of the fascinating character that is the Six God.
Drake the rapper, we should say that it's not Nick Drake.
Yeah, it's not Nick Drake.
That's a different podcast.
It's not the Drake from Harry Potter.
It's not Drake's coffee
What
cakes.
Drake was in Harry Potter?
Isn't there a character named Drake in Harry
Draco
Potter?
Draco Malfoy you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different.
He's not.
Why
not,
would we
we're
do
not talking about him
about
either.
Draco Malfoy.
We're talking about Aubrey Graham Drake.
Not Aubrey Plaza. Right.
Not anybody else.
Aubrey Drake Graham.
Well, the other
we know
voice,
we are talking about Aubrey Drake Graham.
The other voices that we have, I should mention that we have two other guests, a repeat guest already in our second episode. We're repeating guests. We have Trey Smith, who was on our inaugural episode where we talked about memes. He created the B meme, Trey Smith.
Hey.
We also have first time guest ever. Lawrence Burney, he is also a staff writer at Noisy.
I'm overjoyed.
Like, I didn't believe you when you said that. I mean, we could just do that one more time with, like, some feeling.
I feel it inside.
Dan, what are we talking about today?
Well, last time we talked about memes. I feel like that was lighthearted fun. But on our list of episodes that we want to do about Drake, we have one that I feel like is just going to get us death threats from hip hop head, so like, let's just get it out of the way now. just get the death threats up front, and then we can just move on with our day. Today's topic is a question: is Drake real hip hop? And now I'm sort of like a casual follower of hip hop, but even I know the phrase "real hip hop" is like one of those things that will just murder your mentions online. You know. So Eric, can you please briefly explain this debate on what about real hip hop?
Well, so there's a big question about what it means to be real in the rap
world.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think that Drake, the reason that Drake has been at the front of this discussion for so long is because he comes from like a background of like, you know, he grew up in Forest Hills in Toronto, which is like a more upper class neighborhood. He's maybe not like of the culture,
he's
whatever.
A child actor.
And so like he doesn't really know what that life is or whatever that means. And I think that there's these gatekeepers of hip hop who, you know, like come from the schools of like Hot 97 or like this New York based like XXL or like whatever these gatekeepers are, to kind of define, like put the genre in a box that is the real hip hop. And I think it's also a hard thing to explain.
And
because
a lot of it stems from like, oh, Biggie and Tupac. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of like older rap people who are like, Biggie and Tupac, that's the real hip hop. And like, a lot of young kids are like, nah, like that's not
exactly
real.
I mean, it's like old school versus new school, maybe, right, is another, like a more simple way to put it. And Drake aggravates a lot of people in this way because he's not you don't hear people say, oh, he's got bars or what, you know, whatever that means.
He's like, never ate a deep fried Timberland boot.
Like, which is this the
which is the main qualifier.
Yeah, that's hip-hop. That's like the hazing for
I think the thing about Drake that bothers people the most, and it's definitely bothered me in the past, and I just said fuck it because there's nothing I can do about it, is that it's not only is he not from the background that you would think a rapper should be from, it's also that he's dominant. It's not just that he is a cornball from the suburbs, it's that he's also like arguably the best rapper and yeah. Simultaneously a corny guy.
Some like big target on his back.
Yeah, it's like he's an easy target, but at the same time it's like he has set up his career in a way that he can't be dethroned because we know all this about him. It's not like it's worse when a rapper is not from a life that they claim to be from and then they get exposed. Drake is already that person.
He's like one step ahead of you, revealing it himself.
Yeah, like he was already on Degrassi. He was like, that's why I think Meek Mill just had no chance in winning a battle with Drake, because what can you say?
Yeah, like, how do you make fun of somebody whose entire life is on the internet?
Yeah, right. They're like, he's so self-aware. Like, I know what I am.
What are the Drake secrets?
Like, he's be-rabbited himself since like the beginning, you know? So whatever Drake secrets there are, they're still yet to happen.
Right.
And we'll find out about it immediately. Unless there's like more text messages that somebody's going to post on the... But even when he does get exposed or whatever, like, what was her name, was talking about how he treated her, Malaya?
Yeah.
She was tweeting about how, like, he just treated her really poorly and shit, and it's like, that fucking sucks. But it wasn't anything that was going to run away, because we already knew Drake probably had, like, pretty shitty relationships with women, and he always likes to play the victim in them.
Yeah, so he raps about it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
he says, I'm bad. Like, I'm a bad person. Yeah. Like, that's...
I'm a good person because I say I'm a bad person.
Exactly, yeah. And that he there, therefore, he's, like, then, like, emotional or sad or whatever, and, like, that narrative drives
He's vulnerable,
yeah.
Which, sure.
Who isn't? Whomst among us?
So would you guys say he is real hip-hop?
Well, actually, before we even say if he's real hip-hop, let's say, from a technical standpoint... Is Drake a good rapper?
Yeah.
I think so, yes.
I mean, he's been a good rapper from the beginning. I mean, when I first heard Drake in a dorm room my freshman year of college, and somebody played his freestyle over the Say You Will beat from...
Comeback Season?
That was on, yeah, So Far Gone.
It was on So Far Gone. And he was rapping on the Say You Will beat, and... I didn't know who he was or anything. I was like, this is good. And that was my first impression of Drake. It wasn't until I started learning more about him.
Somebody was like, yeah, you like seen the show Degrassi?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I didn't watch Degrassi when it was out, so I didn't have that frame of reference for Drake. Like, he was just a rapper. And then when somebody showed me the cover of Comeback Season, that's when I was like, I don't know if I should like him. He's wearing a turtleneck surrounded by fall leaves in the background.
He was like picking apples in Connecticut
and
or some
he had
shit.
Like a peacoat on.
How good is like the face that Drake makes on that? Like that that cover, he's just
what is
it's
that?
Like so
Comeback season,
his second mixtape.
He's just mad.
I'm looking at
it's such a fierce look. It's like he's giving a lot of face.
Yeah, he looks like a L.L. Bean catalog. Like it looks like the calendar for fall of my college. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, that's the October.
I'm ready to take a class about history.
Right. I just took my first political science class, and I'm ready to talk to you about it, girl. Yeah. It's like kind of seductive, but like kind of try to be like a bad boy seductive. But you know there's nothing bad about him.
Yeah. Like he maybe got that sweater discounted.
It's really hypnotic, actually. I'm like, I can't stop looking at it.
It's like he saw the movie poster for A Rebel Without a Cause and a girl he likes dorm room, and he's like, I'm going to nail this. Okay. I'm going to get this look down.
It looks like they took Good Will Hunting and just airbrushed out Matt Damon and put Drake in it.
Like now when I look at it, I have hella respect for Drake because it takes... a substantial amount of nerve to have this as your mixtape cover.
Like, he's got like a pea coat on.
I mean, it's funny to think about.
This is the lamest shit you could ever have as a mixtape cover.
This is why I've like always fucked with Drake too, because he's, I mean, I don't know if I want to say this, but I just think he does, it takes a certain amount of bravery in the rap world to be coming out like this.
No, with that cover, he definitely thought it was cool.
Funny because he thought it was cool and it's not cool, but because he thought so, he made it cool. Like, Drake opened up an avenue for conventionally uncool people.
Right.
Like, to be able to thrive. Like, Drake.
Does this sound like the way it looks? Is it like sensitive?
No, not really. It's just, and that's another reason why it's funny. Like, because it makes no sense, but he didn't have to have this mixtape cover at all. But I think that Drake, well, I mean, it was around the time Drake broke, it was already like rappers, I feel like, who were kind of making it okay, or maybe not okay, but just encouraging a new narrative for like a young black kid. Like, you could be emotional, you didn't have to be hard. It was either like, at one point it was either you were a street rapper or just like a straight up rapper who would just like can rap about rapping like Lil Wayne, or you were R&B. It was like those three lanes, and Drake kind of blended that to a certain extent. Like, Lupe was doing it, but he was way more on the conventional rap side. Kid Cudi couldn't rap, so he was just like, Kid Cudi just made some other shit, and then Drake was like the in-between of that. And I feel like because of Drake, we now have rappers who, it's okay to just be a nerd, but being a nerd is cool now. Mm-hmm. At that time, it wasn't.
Right.
Early Kanye, like College Dropout was more like, you know, I don't have to subscribe to like what hip hop backgrounds is. I can rap about college.
Yeah. But he had respect because of Rockefeller.
Yeah. Yeah. He had cosigns. He had like, yeah.
Like, he produced the blueprint.
Drake was just a guy.
Yeah. Drake was a child actor.
Right.
You know,
there's an alternate reality.
And from Canada.
Yeah. Right. And from Canada. Yeah. No, and I think that's true. Like, I mean, I think an interesting narrative is like how the city of Toronto has like actually, it's like become like a cool destination in the last 10 years.
Drake has made Toronto matter.
Like,
I didn't know there were black people in Toronto.
Did you know that there was a CN, like, did you know about the CN Tower before like 5 years ago?
No, I still don't even know what it is.
Yeah, when I saw the Views cover, I was like, why is he in Seattle? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Yeah, like.
The only thing I knew about Toronto before Drake was Carabana and the Raptors.
Did Toronto exist before Drake? I think so, right? Like, I had heard people talk about it, but
yeah.
Yeah, but it was like
they
a
had
startup.
A baseball team.
And they play hockey.
Yeah. So Toronto did exist.
Yeah.
Okay, so Drake didn't start the city.
Drake didn't start Toronto, but he started the Six.
Oh, okay. And what's the Six?
Something no one in Toronto apparently calls Toronto.
Yeah, but I think they do now.
I still don't think they do that much.
I think they call it
T-Dot.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Dot.
Oh, yeah.
But it is interesting. I mean, that's like another, like, it just, that is like an argument for Drake as real hip hop, because he did, like, and you're talking about these classic rules, like, he represented his city, you know, like he helped put it on a map. Like, I don't know. Like,
he's a disruptor. And yeah. I feel like that's what hip-hop in its most purest form is it disrupts the status quo.
It's a voice for the voiceless.
It's a voice for the voiceless, and Toronto had no voice.
I mean, we started by asking if Drake was a legitimately talented rapper, and he's got to be if he came from being a child actor in a city that didn't even exist, and he became like
from the inner city of that city.
Yeah.
Also. No, I mean, like, there wasn't even a city on the map. Like, it wasn't there. And then they were going to call it Drakestan or Toronto. They went with Toronto.
Well, something I always think about, too, is it's like, technically, I think Drake is, like, a phenomenal rapper. And the reason I think that is because on the song Scholarships, when he says that line, "I go Kentucky blue."
I hate that line so much.
Everybody hates that line. Everybody hates that line, but like when you're in the club, like, and you're like that line is fire. Like, you know,
it's all the markers of what rap is supposed to be. He has wit, he has good punchlines, he makes you debate whether it's trash or good. Like, you have to have all those to be an effective rapper. And by those standards, Drake is a good rapper.
I feel like we have a bunch of Drake defenders on the podcast right now. My question is, how does the rap world in general view Drake?
The same way they viewed Mace, the same way they viewed Nelly. Like, Drake is not anything we haven't seen before, man. Like, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, Drake is basically to Toronto what Nelly was to St. Louis. Like, nobody really knew if there was a rap scene there, if it even existed. Like, they had barbecue. They were allegedly in Missouri. Like, yeah, and he did things in a way where, like, Nelly was getting clowned when he first came out, too. It was like, oh, this is just dumb pop music. Don't listen to this. Yeah, he's an industry plant. And then Nelly just kept making songs like Hot in Here. And you have an opinion on Nelly, man. Not an opinion. Mace was out here in the shiny suits dancing around and stuff with Diddy.
So it seems like it's, like, the argument that's, like, you know, oh, it's popular, so it can't be good.
I think there's that, and I also think that there's just this reality where it's like people don't want to, because of all, in a lot of the things that Lawrence was talking about, like, I think Drake's popularity has done a lot to kind of redefine masculinity in rap music and what that means, and masculinity to our generation. And I think that, like, by liking Drake, you maybe position yourself as like, oh, I'm like,
soft,
or yeah, I'm like emo or whatever. And so I think that, like, a lot of the anger towards Drake, or like him, like, ruining hip hop, comes from this, like, insecurity perhaps that, like, a lot of people within the genre have, where they're like, oh no, this is supposed to be this way. Like, I'm strong, I like go to the gym, and I like have sex. Like, I, you know, I don't talk about my feelings, you know.
Go to the gym, have sex.
Drake doesn't go to the gym, doesn't have sex.
No, he does all those. Well,
we'll get to those in other episodes.
But I think that's like, you know, that's what causes this, like, visceral reaction, like, versus someone like Kendrick Lamar, who is like a rapper's rapper or something. Where they're like, oh yeah, that's bars, like, that's fire.
Yeah. And it's like, people don't like to be challenged on what they think. It crosses over into, like, whenever I cover, like, punk, and you put punk in the word in the headline, and you see it go on Facebook, and if it's a young band in the context of punk, you have all these, like, old heads who come out of the woodwork, and they're like, actually, in 1978, the UK sub started punk, so you know, this actually isn't actual punk. And you're like, okay, buddy, yeah, like, right, a
buddy.
Dick.
Yeah.
but like, yeah, I feel like when you're going to challenge that, when you're coming out with a pea coat in what looks like a beautiful autumn day.
Yeah, like, I'm going to go to JCPenney and buy that outfit.
Yeah. This is like, we have 31 days until Halloween. I think this is going to be my Halloween costume. Drake on the cover of Comeback Season.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm just going to, it's a pea coat with a collar popped up. Super simple.
I will say, though, the one thing that I think bothered a lot of people about Drake, which still, at the beginning of Drake's career, might have been still a valid thing, is he was definitely safe as shit. Mm-hmm. Like, look at him on that cover. Like,
bring him home to your mom.
Yeah, he's a nice Jewish boy, man. Like, yeah, and, yeah.
He's extremely marketable. I think what a lot of people also might have this kind of animosity towards Drake, because they think he ruined it for, like, people from the street. Like, Drake's success has played a part in street rap kind of being pushed back underground, because not only is he extremely successful, but he comes with less of a headache to a label. With street artists, they face the risk of going to jail all the time, or people don't want to repeat what went on with Biggie and Pac in the 90s. And I think people think that Drake is kind of diluting rap.
Yeah, Drake's the kind of guy who'll walk, like, if Drake walked in here right now, he would be extremely friendly and, like, present.
Didn't we run an article called Drake is Running for President of the Universe once? On
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, Drake is a politician. I think that is.
He's the Mark Zuckerberg of rap.
Yeah. Well.
He invented Facebook, is what Drake said.
Yeah. If rap had a Facebook.
Drake invented.
But I think that's an interesting thing, because it's like he was always like the nice guy, you know, and like presented it that way. And I think that's interesting what you're saying about how it changed then who the genre was like as collectively like favoring or like, you know, creating opportunities for young rappers.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken me a while to even like accept that I like Drake's music. Like, I feel like even from the beginning, I feel like this is just a thing with a lot of people. I've always liked Drake's music, but I felt uncomfortable admitting that I like Drake's music.
Why?
Because I just think he's extremely soft. Like, Yes, I can.
Okay.
But at the time when he came out, I wasn't at that point where that was okay for me. Mm-hmm. I was still in an environment and still around people. And I was also one of those people that just wasn't open to different types of masculinity or what being masculine meant. And Drake is just like, he challenges that. Like, he makes you think hard, and this people don't want to think. They don't want to be challenged. I just want to listen to fucking Jeezy and Boosie and just go about my day. I don't want to have to go through this inner conflict of, can I sing along with this Drake song while he's singing in falsetto about this woman not answering the phone? But I know every word, but I'm not trying to tell you that I know every word. It's like that type of thing.
We talked a lot about Biggie and Pac as like the barometer for real hip hop, right? That's like the like gold standard for real hip hop. Were they alive today, would Biggie and Pac, what would they think of Drake?
I think Pac would maybe be more open to Drake. I don't know. I mean, it's just hard
because I think Biggie might be more open to Drake.
Honestly, I think that Pac, the way that people question Drake is the same way they question Tupac when he first came out. Tupac was a fucking art school kid. I mean, he was from the hood, so that gave him more of, he had more, I don't want to say more depth, but people viewed him as a more complex figure. He went to art school, he knew how to act, he came from a family of Black Panthers, but at the end of the day, people, you know, when you go back and read things about Tupac, people didn't think Tupac was the thug that he was promoting himself to be. A lot of people called his bluff. A lot of people thought that he was a phony. A lot of people thought that he changed his whole persona after he played Bishop and Juice. So I think Drake has a lot of parallels to Tupac, actually.
Yeah. I mean, Tupac was trying to be an actor.
Yeah.
You know?
He was a great actor.
But he was never in the wheelchair.
True.
That's where he went wrong.
Yeah.
Man, I hope Drake is listening to this. Like, we're doing this for a month. Let's just start now.
Is Drake listening?
Come on the podcast. Drake, come on the podcast.
Come on the podcast.
Come on the podcast.
Come on the podcast, Drake.
There's another 29 episodes of this. You got 29 chances to get on here, Drake.
I mean, I think it's just, I think everybody likes Drake. And if you don't like Drake, you're kidding yourself. Like, because it comes back to like that when you're at the party, like Woes comes on, or what is that the name of that song?
Know Yourself.
Know Yourself comes on, and like that, like everybody's going to dance. Like, it's going to go off. Like, that
you're going to get kneed in the head.
Yeah, yeah, like, it just, even if you hate him, it doesn't matter. Like, it's going to happen, you know?
He has songs for different moods.
Exactly.
So, whatever, no matter what type of person you are, at this point, Drake has a song that you're going to like.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's like I'm very firmly in that where I'm like I probably want to call myself a Drake fan and but then like Eric could tell you I was in the deli with them one night at like 5 a.m. and we were just singing along to Hotline Bling with the Cat. We weren't even singing along, we just started singing it.
Yeah. Was it even on?
No, it wasn't. Okay. It wasn't even on.
Like
and
the
like,
two
next
deli guys yeah. were singing it, so we started singing with them.
Next thing you know, everybody else is singing along with us. Like awesome. Yeah, and it was like yeah, Drake's kind of cool. Yeah.
Wow, what a moment.
It was.
Yeah. I'm just picturing you guys just getting your sandwiches in the bodega, just having that Hotline Bling moment. It's really special.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite New York moments.
I feel like we accomplished a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
We got to get a phone number that Drake can call if he wants to be on the podcast.
Well,
Drake, we will get you the number.
Yeah, we'll get you the number. Tune in to the next one.
We listen to tomorrow's episode for episode 3
yeah.
in October's very own. This has been Dan, Eric, Trey, and Lawrence, and I think we got to the bottom of if Drake is real hip-hop.
What did we decide he is?
We decided that he is. So if you want to yell at us on the internet, at Eric Sunderman, at Slimmy Hendrix, at True Laurels, I'm not going to give mine out because I don't know.
At Dan Ozzy, D-A-N-O-Z-Z-I.
We're going to be on Reddit hip-hop heads, I know it.
Drake is real hip-hop.
All right, well, that's episode 2 of October's Very Owned.